Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that God's presence is in this place. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that your word declared that where two or three of us are gathered together in your name, there you'll be in the midst of them. Father, help us to recognize you today in all things. Help us to reverence you. Help us to lift your name above all others. As we exalt your name, you draw us near. Father, we just give you praise. I pray, Lord, right now that the Spirit of God would move unhindered today in this place, drawing each and every one of us, Lord, closer to you. Spirit of God, you know us better than we know ourselves. And I pray, Jesus, we open our heart to you. Spirit of God, do a work that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We're back in Philippians today. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm just going to read the first 7 verses. And it really is a continuous thought, but I just knew I couldn't get it all in one service. So we're going to break this up a little bit. Last week I told you, and we talked to you about a Deuteronomy, how we're near. Remember, and it was just like the Lord had revealed to me that we're close. And I said something about us, I don't think I used the word cusp, but that we're on the cusp of something great happening in this place of not great in us, God being great. And so as I dismissed the service, there was a guy here that I know, I won't mention his name, but he moves in the prophetic a lot. And he said, the Lord told me, and he said it was right before you made the statement that you made. He said, the Lord spoke to me and said, these people are hungry for me and they are close. And so I believe with all my heart, the Lord recognizes our desire for him above all things. Not our desire to be religious, our desire for him and a relationship with him. I titled this sermon, and probably next week I'll just keep the same title, but I titled this Reckless Abandonment. Reckless Abandonment. And I came across a couple of statements this week. Actually, somebody sent me an email or a text, and man, it was just like, bam, I got my sermon, and he sent me this, and I thought, man, this is like my sermon right back to me. And he made this statement. He said, God is not looking for a partnership, but ownership. That's a heavy statement. You know, I think that many times this world teaches us that God wants us to partner with him. That is not true. God wants to own you, so that you are his servant. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 through 25. I didn't write it all down. But it says, if one desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. That's the calling of God, folks. We have things so backwards, don't we, in our world? You know, we chase after everything but the one who can truly give us fulfillment in life. And that's Jesus. Jesus is it, man. I know it seems so oversimplified, right? Jesus cannot be the solution to every problem. I promise you, he is. He is. It's crazy, isn't it? You seek so many different things when all you really need to seek is him. God is calling us to a deeper level. You feel it? Do you feel that in your spirit like I do? I mean, God is calling us into deeper waters. So in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is writing to this church at Philippi, This book is known as the Book of Joy. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe," or it's a safeguard. "Beware of dogs." That was an insult. "Beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who work God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." He couldn't write those things if it were not true. The Holy Spirit would not have allowed that. Verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Whew. Dear Jesus, I hope I can get through this. Father God, I pray your anointing upon your word. I pray your anointing upon this speaker, that the words from my mouth would be your words. But more than anything, I pray the anointing upon the hearts and ears of these people. Let them receive from you today exactly what they need. Father, you said that you give diverse kinds of gifts, many different kinds of gifts. And Father, I know that in one service, you minister, Lord, in so many different avenues, in so many different ways, all at the same time. I marvel at that. And I pray today that this service would be like that. It would be a service where every heart hears the word of the Lord and exactly what they need. Jesus, I love you and I worship you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He starts off with the word finally. And so he is beginning his conclusion. And it's sort of like an airplane pilot saying, "We are beginning our descent," right? Paul is beginning to land the plane, right? And so don't get excited about that, because Paul is a preacher of preachers. So even though he says in conclusion, he's got two more chapters ready to write, right? I mean, this is where we get it from. That's why you can't believe a preacher when he says finally or in conclusion, I'm closing. He's still got 30 minutes under his belt. He just don't know it. But he says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write this thing, it's not tedious. It's not grievous for me to tell you to rejoice." Rejoice is the word kairo. It's sort of like chair with an O on it. That's the Greek word. And it means elated, ecstatic, exhilarated, jubilant, with actions such as dancing, smiling, and laughing. In 1 Thessalonians, he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Always. What if I don't feel like rejoicing, Pastor Eric? Rejoice. You know, last night as we were coming to prayer meeting, how many people know that most Saturday nights when we come to prayer meeting, I don't want to come? Is that too transparent for you? I mean, I'm fighting the fight of faith, man. We're having a discussion in the car, and I can tell she don't want to go as much as I don't want to go. And so I say to myself, I thought, well, I'm going to go, but I'm just not going to pray. Can we say hard-headed? Well, I'm just not going to pray. Lord, you got my body. You ain't getting my spirit. And so I started preaching my sermon to myself. And something happened. I forgot what it was exactly. But all of a sudden, I began to think, rejoice. I promise you, I didn't feel like rejoicing. I felt like just leaving. I just didn't want to be here that night. I wasn't in a bad mood. I was just in a mood. I'm actually pretty joyous most of the time. Love life, love to laugh. Positive most of the time. Hadn't always been, but God has changed a lot of that about me. But last night, I just didn't want to be here. But then I was challenged by the Spirit to rejoice. I'm going to tell you, anybody can rejoice when everything is going good. It takes great faith to rejoice when all hell's broke loose against you. When I can't see anything but the circumstances are bad. When it seems like the devil is winning. And God, where are you? Because it seems like the heavens are silent. I'm telling you, it takes great faith to say, when I don't feel like it, I will still rejoice. You see, I've told you this before, but I have a bit of a problem in the fact that, like, bright lights attract me. And so when I'm driving and there's a policeman got somebody pulled over, I tend to want to stare. And Treva, if she's with me, she'll say, "Don't look at those lights. Don't look at those lights. Don't look at those lights." Because see, I tend to go where I'm looking. And so do you. See, whatever draws your attention, your life will begin to steer that way. So if bad circumstances get your attention, you're going to head more into those bad circumstances. But when you change and when you think, no, I know God is still on the throne. I know that He knows my name. I know that He's a good God. He loves me. And I may not have exactly what I want right now, but I know God is able. You get that? God is able. And He loves us. He will change this world if He needs to. For you. For me. Therefore, I will rejoice. There's a man in the Bible convicts me every time I read it. It's Habakkuk. He's what we call a minor prophet. I hate that term. He is a prophet of God, but he didn't write a long letter, so we call him a minor prophet. It's right towards the end of the Old Testament. You don't have to look it up. But it's in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. He's writing to an agricultural society. Which, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, when their garden didn't come in, they didn't eat. There was no Walmart to go get their groceries. If there were no animals to slay, you didn't have meat. You get it? And Habakkuk says this. And so, folks, you got to recognize that people cannot just write what they want to write in the Bible. Every word of this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. These men cannot just say something because they think it's clever. You get me? They can only write truth because it's the Holy Spirit that's actually penning this or writing this through a man. Habakkuk says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls," listen to this, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Woo! You got that much faith? Though my bank account reads a negative number, though my body is failing me, though my friends have turned against me, yet will I rejoice. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? I'm telling you, when Paul says rejoice, church, it's because it takes faith. And faith gets you in the right lane. Does that make sense? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must come to Him believing that He is. And He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. We can only accomplish rejoicing when we have a relationship, a true relationship with Jesus. Because it is a fruit of the Spirit, basically, joy. Rejoicing comes from the root word joy. And He says it's safe for you to know this. This will safeguard your walk with Jesus. This will safeguard you. In other words, folks, there's some dangers that are out there trying to pull you away. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. You know the first thing he's after? He's after the word that's hid in your heart. He's after your joy. He's after your peace. Why? Because Jesus is the one that says, "My joy give I unto thee." Jesus gave us a gift, and Satan is trying to steal it from you. It's easy to lose your joy. It's so good to see you, my brother. God bless you. I love you. Man, this takes us back about 10 years. Took me a while, though, to figure out who you were. Satan wants to steal your joy. You know, joy's like a magnet. You don't seek out grumpy people to be around. You seek those joyful people, the one that's laughing. Hey, I think I want to sit with them. Right? Joy's a magnet that draws people in, and people want to say, "Where's that joy coming from?" Oh, I can tell you where my joy comes from. It doesn't come from circumstances of this life. Are you getting it? I can have as much joy on the bad days as I can on the good days. David said, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Woo, He gave me a gift. He gave me a gift of this day. Now it's up to me what I'm going to do with it, but He says, "I'm going to give you a little bit of a clue. Rejoice. Rejoice in this day." Folks, if you change your perspective, you change your world. I promise you it's true. Some of you are so deep in despair, you can't see it. You need to repent. Say, "Pastor, it ain't my fault." Yes, it is. You bought the Satan's lie. So repent of that. Say, "God, forgive me that I took my eyes off of you. Got them on the circumstances of life." I know it's convicting to me too. He dealt with me last night on it. Somebody said one time to Smith Wigglesworth, everybody know who Smith Wigglesworth was? If you don't, read a book. Oh my goodness. He was a plumber turned preacher. Turned mighty man of God. Somebody come to Smith Wigglesworth and they said, "How you doing today, Smith?" Smith Wigglesworth looked at him. He says, "I don't ask myself how I'm doing. I tell myself how I'm doing." Woo, different level. Different level than most of us, right? Most of us, we have trained ourselves to walk by our emotions. And God is saying, stop that nonsense. Don't walk by your emotions. When you walk by your emotions, you're easily offended. Woo! Come on, I'm preaching now. You're easily sidetracked. Then he goes into something. He said, "Beware of them dogs." There's some sarcasm in this. That was really an insult in this time. And it was all about Judaizers going around and they were preaching to the Gentile church, "You got to be circumcised." We just hadn't learned a whole lot. We're still there. Jesus says, I didn't come to circumcise that. I come to circumcise this. I want to cut away the flesh in your heart. That's the circumcision of the saint of God. And for that I say, well, thank you, Jesus. Cut away, cut away, cut away. Here's what the Lord spoke to me as I was worshiping Him even this morning. He said, what did He say? Would you give that to me one more time, Lord? Hail Mary, full of grace, Father, thou art with me. Okay, here's what He said. He said, and this is a good word, Christianity, are you listening? Christianity is not about following the rules. I was raised to be a rule follower. You know, if I didn't cuss, if I didn't tell dirty jokes, I didn't chase after girls, I thought I was right with God. My heart could be exceedingly wicked, but if I didn't do those out things, you see what I'm saying? I was following these people. It's all about what you do. It ain't. It isn't. Thank you. Hope God blesses you with a woman like He blessed me with. Should have been an English teacher. You know, when you say something like that, it's dangerous. I'm not throwing out permission slip to live any way you want to live. I'm not doing that. It's not my intentions, not my thoughts. But my thought is this. Jesus wants your heart. If He gets your heart, He'll lead and guide you. It's not about following rules, guys. It's about following Him. Listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. Will you mess up? Absolutely. And for that we have forgiveness. But He just keeps drawing us in. Doesn't He? Just keeps pulling us in a little closer to His heart. How'd those get there? Paul says in this, he tells us, he says, it's not about rule following, but there's three characteristics that I have identified in believers. Okay? This got my attention. There's three, you read it, I just read that to you. There's three characteristics here that I'm seeing among a believer. And he says, number one, we worship God in spirit. John, 4:24? They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm so thankful for what we have up here on the pulpit. Man, we have a worship team that's devoted not to a performance, but to worship our God. I wish that came through on Facebook, and I'm sorry it doesn't. Not nearly as good as being in the house. But when the Lord says to worship Him, He's not just talking about a service. Right? So there's a few things I hope I have clarity of mind to think about, to be able to convey to you. See, worship is a lifestyle. Worship is this, listen to this. Worship is practicing the presence of God. It's walking in His presence. So I can do that on Monday morning as well as Sunday morning. And I better. See, worship is a weapon against the enemy. Why? Because it changes my heart. Worship is about me getting right to my Lord. Worship in spirit and in truth. Pentecostals, I know we think that's singing in tongues and stuff. It's not. It's just getting in the Spirit of God. Getting in the flow and worship Him in that spirit. And truth. What's truth? Thy word is truth. So when you worship, you're going to hear the word coming out of your mouth. Right? So you're worshiping the one you know, and you know him to be truth. Worship is not a style. You see, you don't have to worship God like I worship God. The greatest place for you to worship may be in a park, maybe in the woods. Dave Kelly used to tell me all the time, he loved to go deer hunting. He says, sometimes I don't even look for the deer, I just worship God in the stand. He just loved being alone in nature. But we must develop that worship. Denny came to me one time, and I think I fell in love with Denny at this point. He said, Pastor, he said, I need to learn a deeper type of worship. Have you got a book? I gave him a book. It didn't help him, but no. Is your heart drawn to him? Don't you feel that cold aloofness sometimes? Right? Isn't that Satan's trick to make us not feel anything? We just feel that distance, and somehow worship erases that distance. I get in his presence. Hallelujah. Now there are a lot of words in the old Hebrew, because some of you may not be used to the way this church worships. And so I say this to you, there's no pressure on you in this church. There's no pressure to worship in a certain style. If you are a quiet, reserved person, you may never do certain things that you would see me do. But there are certain things that I will just push you just a little bit. Okay? Just nudge you a little bit. And one of them is the lifting of hands. And I know that's not everybody's style, but this is not a style. This is the word. But you don't get it by reading, you get it by taking the word and finding out the true meaning of that word. But many of the Hebrew words was an extension of hands. The Bible says the trees of the field will clap their hands. You see, I had somebody ask me, why does this church clap so much? Well, we're just excited. We ain't clapping for people, we're clapping for him. He deserves an encore. So todah means to extend your hands in thanksgiving. Yada means to worship with an extension of hands. Hala, which is the word we get hallelujah, to boast and to rave, to celebrate. Barak means to kneel. That's just a few of them. There's a bunch of words that God uses that the Old Testament uses. But David wrote this in Psalms 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that's hard. I can worship in church. But sometimes when I'm by myself, it's difficult. Sometimes you give him the sacrifice of praise. You know what that means? It means you may not feel like it. Like last night's prayer meeting to me. Last night's prayer meeting was nothing but a sacrifice. But when I got here, it turned into pure joy. And to the guy that thought he would not pray, I couldn't hardly shut up my mouth. I just had diarrhea of the mouth, basically. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not even giving anybody else time to praise, but man, it was just rolling out of me. And it was all about rejoicing. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 61, that's the second thing. The first thing was to worship. The second thing is to rejoice. And you may say, well, isn't that the same? Nope, they're not. We don't walk in the flesh, we walk in the spirit. Isaiah 61 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with a garment of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Let the praise adorn you. You know, you can tell people that have fallen in love with Jesus. You know it? Their mouth will tell you. You'll hear it. Especially when those people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Man, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can't shut it down. I mean, it just starts rolling out of you. And this is for a guy that when he was 7 years old, he heard an evangelist come to church. And I was sitting right there where Tommy was on the front row. And gave my heart to Jesus, went to the altar, started praying, was there for about 2 hours, 7 years old. How wicked is a 7 year old? Wicked enough. He recognized that he needed a Savior. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. I didn't know what tongues was. But all of a sudden, at 7 years old, I'm asking Jesus to come in my heart, and I start speaking in tongues. I thought, I don't know what this is, but it feels pretty good. Went back to school the next day, my second grade teacher, Mrs. Bell, and I told her, I said, I can speak in tongues. You want to hear me? And she said, you go back to your seat, Eric. Okay. Oh, wisdom came much later. And then he says, the third thing is, we have no confidence in the flesh. See, I think that's the battle. I think a lot of us do have confidence in the flesh. And this is where Paul gave his pedigree. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Benjamite. I'm this and I'm that. I persecuted the church. I did all the things that we were supposed to do. And then he tells us, but don't have confidence in the flesh. I don't care how many letters you have behind your name, what kind of degree you have. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about how much money you have. You don't have enough to impress Jesus. He's looking for your heart. He says, we have no confidence in the flesh. You know what that speaks to me? Humility. Humility. Lord, in my weakness, you're made strong. God, I need you. Oh, buddy, do I need you? You know, sometimes we think we know what we're doing, but even then we may be wrong. You know, sometimes I feel like life is like shifting into autopilot. And we just start to shift into autopilot. And we just go about doing the same thing every day. There's not much joy there. I promise you. See, Jesus don't want you to be on autopilot. He wants you to walk with Him. Walk in the Spirit. Don't have confidence about what you know, who you are, what your last name is. That's not stuff that you ought to have confidence in. You know, he sent his disciples out, 70 of them out, and they came back and they said, the demons are subject to us. It was so good, man. I'm telling you, I cast a devil out of a person. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That should bring us joy. The older I get, the more I walk with Jesus, the more I realize I'm not. But He is. I'm so incapable. You know, pastoring's a scary thing. Because I'm going to give an account for you. And I take that really serious. Plus, I love you. It's weird. It's supernatural love that God gives a pastor for His people. Pastors see when you're doing wrong. I'm serious. I see it. I don't come to you because that ain't my place. That's the place of the Holy Ghost. but I pray for you. But sometimes it breaks my heart. There's been many, many times when I just go to an altar and my heart is broken because I see hardness coming up around somebody I love. I see a misdirection. But then I'm so thankful. It's not about me. There's one so much greater than me. And I watch him gently reach out and pull that person back to the Lord. We don't have confidence in this flesh, but I have confidence in God, in my Savior. I don't just have confidence in Him for me. I have confidence in Him for you. See, I know the same God that I serve, Courtney serves. He's all screwed up, but he'll be all right. You get what I'm saying? God loves us, and we serve the same God. We need to encourage each other. And when you see somebody getting a little haughty, a little self-puffed up, don't rebuke them. Pray for them. God got their number. Can I just say one more thing? God has the key to the heart of the person that you're praying for to get saved. You think, well, if I just say the right things, if I just do, you're putting too much pressure on you. It ain't you. It's Him. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit of God draws them. You're not going to get anything out of this service because of my eloquence. Don't laugh at that. What you get is the Spirit of God using a weak man and using His words to draw you to Him. Folks, the Spirit of God said we're close. The Spirit of God said that we're hungry for Him. Do you get that? Even God recognizes that there's a hunger in this church for the deep things of the Lord. Today I'm talking to you about reckless abandonment. Will you abandon yourself? Are you willing to recklessly put things aside to serve Him? You get it? Paul said this, what things were gain to me, I counted them as loss. After he gave this great pedigree, he said, those things don't matter. What matters is me. Well, we'll get into that next week. So how can we do these things? By developing a relationship with Jesus. Romans 8, verse 12 says, therefore, brothers, we're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. David wrote this verse in the Old Testament, Psalms 42. He says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. That convicts me. The picture here that he's painting is a deer that's being chased by a hunter. And that deer is exhausted from running. And he now needs water. And he said, if I can just get water, I'll get my strength back. See, that should be us. As the deer pants for the water, so how hungry are you? How hard are you following after God? My soul thirsts for you, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David spoke of thirsting, even panting hard, to encounter more of His presence. Paul echoed this heart when he cried out that he was pressing in for a different goal. All of his accomplishments were counted as loss. Paul is basically saying, follow me to a life beyond ourselves. Follow me to a life that's beyond ourselves. Don't you let people tell you, you got to do it this way. Putting artificial rules on you. How many of you grew up where your hair had to be a certain length? Or mattered the clothes that you wore? Number one question I get is, what's expected of me when, as far as dress when I come to church? And I say, please have clothes on. I don't care what you wear. He don't look at your clothes. He's looking at your heart. Now, if you come with no clothes, we're going to put you out. I promise you, or throw a towel around you real quick. Would you stand with me? Treva, would you come? I really believe this is a statement that he gave me, that Paul was basically saying, follow me to a life that's beyond ourselves. You want to do something greater than you're capable of? The altar is a place of death. We're going to have an altar call today. And I would say this. Please don't come up because you think I want you to. I'm going to call you forward if you're saying, I want more. We used to sing a song, More of You, More of You. And I realized one day it's a false song. It ain't about more of Him. Jesus actually was singing that to you. More of you, more of you. Jesus wants more of you. He'll give you all of Him. You got, you want. He said, draw near to me. You, draw near to me. I'll be there. I'm asking you today, if your heart's cry is, Lord, I want to go beyond where I'm at now. I want to go beyond. I want to deny myself, pick up my cross and follow you with all my heart. I want you to come and stand across this front, and we're just going to end with a prayer. Sing it, Treva.
I will bless the Lord and give Him, oh yes, glory. Oh, I will bless His name and give Him glory. I will bless the Lord and give Him glory. Oh, I worship You.
His name
and give Him
all the glory. Yes,
I will bless the Lord and give Him
glory. Jesus.
I want you to begin to rejoice.
His name.
Begin to rejoice. Rejoice, especially if the circumstances are bad right now. Rejoice. I have confidence in God, my Savior. Hallelujah. I bless the name of the Lord. I rejoice in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will rejoice in You. Jesus.
His
name. Give Him
glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're comfortable with it, would you raise your hands? Would you just raise your hands as a surrender to the Lord? Would you begin to tell Him that you need Him? That He is all in all to you. That in Him you have life. In Him you have everything you need. In Him you are a partaker of the good things of God. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus, not because we're so good, but because you are good. Father, we deny ourselves. We pick up the cross today. Lord, we will follow you, Jesus. We will follow you. Father, you see their presence today. You see these people that standing across this room. Father, Lord, they are surrendering their heart to you. They have come to the place of death, Lord, to the altar where they're denying themselves and they're lifting their eyes to God, their Savior. Father, there's not a one up here that would say everything is wonderful for me. But Lord, by faith, Father, we seek after you. We search you. Lord, you said the violent will take it by force. Father, we're beholding to you today. I pray the hand of God would reach down and would grab our hearts. Lord, would begin to massage our heart in your hands, God. Oh, change us into the image of Christ. God, we know, Lord, from your word that we're close. We know that you said that we're hungry, and we are a hungry people for your presence. God, we're speaking it out today. Like Moses said, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. I only want to follow you, Jesus. God, I pray your presence would envelop us. Let the glory of the Lord surround us today as we totally surrender to you. Oh, I worship you. I rejoice in God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Lord, help me. Help my flesh, God, to take my eyes off of circumstances, to take my eyes off my shortcomings. Lord, it ain't about me. It's about you. Hallelujah. I worship you. I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. I thank you, Lord, that your mercy is new every morning. Nehemiah said, it's the joy of the Lord that's my strength. God, we need a little strength. We need a little strength today. Impart your joy. Let your joy reign in us, God. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. Let's end with this chorus.
For thou, O Lord,
our God,
you.
Thou art exalted. Hallelujah. We worship you. Hallelujah. Brother Denny's going to come and end with a blessing and some announcements. Just remember this. Whatever you give your attention to, that's where your life will head. Give your attention. The Bible says, set your affection, set your heart on things above. Amen. God bless you.
I grabbed the microphone. Your verse of the week. Remember the verse of the week. Has anybody memorized it yet? Yeah, you want to recite it with the microphone? Yeah. Terry, no?
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Very good. Now, just because she has it memorized doesn't mean it gets you guys off the hook. You still have to do it too, okay? So, don't forget that. It is the first of the month, close to it. If you didn't get a bulletin, they're on the welcome table in the back. It's got a calendar on it with all the stuff going on. So the main things to point out, I don't know if you guys can see this, but we have something going almost every day of the week, which is great because all different things available that fit your schedule so we can get together more than just once or twice a week, which is wonderful. But the main things on the 20th of this month is our day for Helping Hand, as you can see up there. So if you want to be involved in that, see Patty Peterson. If you don't know who Patty is, she's the lady in the sound booth. So go back there and say hi to her, and she'll get you hooked up. And then the following day on the 21st is the men's breakfast. I like to point that out because I'm a man and I like to eat breakfast. So that's always a good day for me. But of course, to be fair, you ladies have Tuesday morning Bible study. You have Friday night Bible study, so you guys have plenty of stuff too. So don't get mad at me about that. So anyway, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.